Здравствуйте, дорогие друзья.
Hello, good dear friends. We're starting our Sunday webinar. As always, in the studio with us is Dr. Michael Lightman.
Hello to everyone.
Борис Белосиковский and myself, Зима Винокуру, instructor of the World Kabbalah Academy. Today's topic is very interesting, the development of reason and the power of thought. That's the topic. Everyone talks about thoughts, so it would be interesting to delve into this topic. Maybe Boris can start. Boris, there is a quote, right? Everything is scrutinized by the thought. What does that mean?
Yes, that's exactly what is said. The main thing is the thought, but it's not the thought that in our world, when we sit and think, a thought in spirituality is an action, it's a force. It's a vector that acts upon the entirety of nature, the entire matter, on all of its degrees, and that's why a thought creates. As that is said, in the beginning there was a word. A word. And before that there was a letter and a period on the white background upon which the letter has formed. In general, this is a thought.
When we mention thought, we say that it comes from the word mila, milui, fulfillment. That's what was at the beginning. That's how we explain it.
In the beginning, there was a desire that attained its correct development, and then fulfillment happened. This something. Should I continue with this?
Yes, continue about the thought. Let's talk about the thought. Do I feel that this is how thought is acting within me?
You see, you imagine how much should have happened from above, the dissemination of the various degrees, until in our world, when all of these different parts have gathered and appeared and then gathered and according to certain laws. And then with this same thought, this eternal and perfect thought, which gathers these parts, these connections in a more perfect way, and they have come to a state when such connections and variations of actions have occurred between them, and these are actions which are psychological, and in the thought and in the desire, and a desire and a certain state has appeared which you can call a mind. It's not simple to explain this. Mind in our understanding is when we receive from the Creator, from the highest thought, the highest system, its qualities, its interconnections, its system of these interconnections. And there exist desires which are connected with one another, and at the same time, there are feelings which are connected to one another, and these desires and feelings, when they're connected and are interrelated, they create something called a thought. The thought of creation consists of a mind and a heart. This is what we'll need to come to, and we in our world are in a state when we need to develop this within us. Maybe I started in a confusing way, but let's start with questions.
Is there any way to measure a thought in our worlds with some frequencies, waves, electromagnetic devices?
Yes, of course, but thoughts are not corporeal. Of course, they give some sort of a corporeal reflection. We can measure certain amplitudes and frequencies, but these are consequences. They're not thoughts themselves. These are consequences of the material forms that react to whatever happens.
We say that the thought is the most powerful thing in the world.
A thought is the most powerful thing in the world, and with this thought you can turn over the entire world. A thought is not a corporeal thing, it's above our world. And it comes down to our world as a controlling signal.
It seems that the most invisible thing is the most powerful one.
Take an atomic bomb. You have a kilogram of a certain material, and what happens when it blows up? If you connect between one another opposite elements, like plus and minus, let's say, what kind of an energy you can receive from this?
Can that energy be compared to the thought, the energy that's released?
No, a thought is much more powerful. Because a thought doesn't have a limit in distance and no limit in strength. Everything depends on who uses it and how it's used.
Can this be negative? We say that there is such thing as an evil eye.
These
are also thoughts.
Yeah, this is a thought. These are serious, harmful thoughts, which you should not use, but they do have a place.
The connections are very interesting. When we speak about the soul, we say that the spiritual does not connect to the physical. But the thought, it's not really material, but...
No, the spiritual does not touch the corporeal, but what we mean is something else. That the spiritual controls the corporeal. What controls matter, if not a spirit?
Also, so an incorporeal thought controls the corporeal, right?
And the incorporeal thought controls the corporeal, yes. If we would know how much we harm this world with our thoughts, then I don't know what we would do. We would just chop off heads, chop people's heads off that they harm their own lives and ruin their lives. And what physical states they exist on and how much they suffer because of this stupid head, as we say.
We have some questions now that we can use to jump off of. So here's one. What material is the thought made of?
A true thought consists from a force. Of course, we can see certain influences based on x-rays. But these are not thoughts. These are consequences which are awakened by the process of the thought. But thought itself is not a material. It's a force, negative or positive, but it's an upper force. And in our world, it goes through all of five worlds because it comes from the Creator. And it encloses in us. Bad and good thoughts occur within us only from this upper source.
Valeria asks, can there be non-material thoughts? Or do animals think?
Of course, inanimate, vegetative, and animate matter also follows the same laws.
It's interesting. Animals' thoughts, can they be recorded?
They're not recorded. They simply exist in a certain dimension where nothing disappears, but everything is aimed in one motion towards one goal until everything is tied into this one integral system.
Friends, don't forget to prepare your questions to us and we will ask them.
You selected such a difficult topic. I'm not even sure how to what I'm going to do with it.
Everyone finds it fascinating. Here is one question. Which parameter defines the impact of the thought?
There are positive thoughts aimed at the connection and good towards others, and there are negative thoughts which are aimed towards the opposite, towards separation and subjugating others. and they're broken down into degrees. In the spiritual level, there are 125 degrees of these various thoughts. And in our world, there's either simply negative or positive. And that's how they're broken down until the entrance into the spiritual world. There's a system of bad forces, dark forces, or bad thoughts. By the way, in Kabbalah, we don't really study this. The Book of Zohar talks about this, but as a system, we don't study it. When Kabbalists have seen that when you study the system of thoughts, incorrect thoughts, evil thoughts, then with you awaken the system and it acts upon us not in a good way, not unto the entire world. Kabbalists write about it, but we study it in our classes. If we become so big that we can use this system for our own good, then we will study it.
We have a question from Istanbul. How do we control our thoughts? For instance, I got a bad thought. What do I do with it? Do I stop it? Do I replace it with another one?
All bad thoughts should be switched to good thoughts, but it can be done only if you enter under the influence of the right environment. There's nothing else besides that. This is called freedom of will. When you're consistently sent bad thoughts, just observe yourself how you push them away, and you don't use them correctly. If you want to use them in the correct way, then there's just one chance. When you aspire towards a connection with friends, and through that you desire to neutralize all of your bad thoughts, not even knowing what is good and what is bad. Whatever happens after a good connection with the friends is what you need.
So that practically answers the question from St. Petersburg. How do you develop the right thoughts and not feed the bad ones?
Through the filter of the group.
How do you understand what's a good thought or a bad thought? How do you define it?
Good or bad thought? The one that's aimed at connection, and the opposite to that.
Irina from Odessa says, in the end, am I the generator of the thought or am I the receiver?
Not a single person is a generator of a thought. Thoughts come, bad and good, from above. None of us is a generator. We are consumers. But how we react towards consuming is upon that depends how we reflect these bad or good signals. And this is our goal, our mission.
We have some more live questions. Vilnius, go ahead.
Vilnius, your question.
Vilnius had a question. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Thought and the 10, what is the connection between them?
Thought and a 10? A 10 is a very serious spiritual thought. Either good or bad, doesn't matter. But it's a very serious spiritual thought. But when one person on his own is an unfinished sort of a fluctuation, so it's a certain obstacle. When each one of us connects to a group, it could be a few people. We say that it's a 10 because that's the most optimal condition, but even if it's not 10 people, but let's say 3 or 4 people, that is already a group, preferably from 3 and above, then their influence upon the world is serious. Their common thoughts can influence the entire system.
Rav, we have two questions.
Вопрос номер один. Вот говорят, мечтать не вредно.
Question number one.
Очень сильно чего-то хочешь.
For example, if you want something really badly in the corporeal, and then sometime later it's given to you in specific details.
Yes, with bad thoughts we can bring ourselves to certain states when we do awaken negative states. Yes, truly so. A thought is a very serious force. So it's best to think positively, to correctly prepare yourself as much as possible to positive qualities, for positive qualities and influences, and this all depends on you. And by the way, here I'd like to point out that feminine thoughts are much more stronger than male thoughts. If women will apply their efforts towards being connected between one another in good thoughts, then with that they'll perform a lot greater work than men will, if men would be connected between one another with good thoughts. That's how it happens from nature. Next.
One more question from Almaty. Hello, Rav. How fair it is from the standpoint of Kabbalah? One of the main postulates of Marxism is that something that becoming a corporeal force, an idea.
Of course, when the idea infects the masses, then becomes a certain enforcement, coercion in either direction, but it has no relationship to spirituality and Kabbalah. A connection between Marxism and Kabbalah, it can be witnessed in a very small correspondence of thoughts from Karl Marx about a state of the society. When people begin to interact with one another, Marx also thought that everything depends on educating the society, and not in no way he didn't call for revolutions that will conquer and change something. What can change, make a change, is a proper society. And the society needs to be raised as a child. A society is similar to a child. If you raise them properly, and then you'll have good consequences. And if not, then you'll see what happens, what problems he brings to you. Nuremberg.
Hello, Rav. Please tell us, if thoughts come from above, then what depends on me? What can I do to make sure that I get the right thoughts coming to me?
Okay, so it depends on you if good or bad thoughts come from you. It depends on your preparation. Thoughts that come from above are not bad or good. It depends how you're tuned into it, how it awakens you. Towards bad or towards the good? Only in that way. From above, we say it like this because it's simpler for us, but really, from above, there is no influence that's characterized in this particular way. This is what you determine within yourself. Next.
We don't have questions, so...
Yes, we have Moscow.
Good day, Rav. Good day, everybody. There are individual thoughts and collective thoughts. How do we correctly form one thought in the ten?
And one thought in the ten needs to come from the fact that one ten is aimed... The entire ten is aimed towards connection, towards unity, that they dissolve in one whole, what is called the one unique and unified. Which is why when they gather in this way, to dissolve, to become homogeneous. Only then we can talk about a correct connection between them and a preparation towards connection with the Creator, which reveals within them. Next. No more questions. Okay, Kiev has a question. Kiev.
Hello. It was said that when a bad thought comes to me, I don't resist it, I don't reject it, but what do I do with it then? Do I fathom it? Do I consider it when it comes to me?
You need to work on it. What that means is you need to take this thought, and together with this thought, you need to process it, and with it to enter deeper into the center of the ten, into the center of your small group, and to dissolve this thought in your unity. Imagine that you have a group, and in this group you connect as one whole. As one whole, like a soup that you cook in a pot, and this soup is cooking, and you throw a thought into the soup, and it will dissolve completely in it. And in the way that it influences this collective, that's how it will be. But the important thing is for the collective to be prepared to adapt itself in such a way for this thought to dissolve in it completely, and then you'll see a correct result.
So I can tell this thought to my friends from the group, or do I not have to tell them, just think about it, and then this thought will be processed by the group?
You don't need to tell them about this. And you could seek advice gradually in accordance with your work in the group. You'll see if you can seek advice from your friends, or maybe you're still shy to ask for it.
So there is a question from Nastya from Moscow that's similar. Can thoughts intermix and mingle and get in between each other?
If the thoughts are not for connection, but that they are towards connection, then they are built inside of the group.
So you're saying that if the thoughts within the ten are about oneself, then that's not good?
Yeah, it's not good.
Dina from Krakow asks, how do you grow the right thought? I want to grow the thought within me about the singularity of the Creator. How do I do that?
A thought about the singularity of the Creator is, in actuality, the most important thought that needs to follow a person throughout the day, because through this he's tied to his root and influences the Creator, and the Creator influences him. But this influence needs to go through the group, otherwise this will not be a correct attunement. And he's like a sniper that wishes to hit the target. He needs to see this target in a very precise way. Imagine a sniper. He considers the temperature, the movement of the wind, all kinds of angles from this target. There are a lot of parameters. It's actually a very difficult job. It's not simply to have a good eye. You need to have a good head. So when we connect in a group, we need to unite within ourselves all of these 10 parameters so that they would all work towards the center. And in the center, there's the Creator. We need to aim at the Creator. And this will happen only based on the fact that between us we will be in a correct connection. This is our work. And here we need to be very good snipers.
Can you talk about that? So there is my eye.
There's the target, which is the 10, and then there's the creator. But this aim is not just an aim, but it's a the target can be pretty far from the sniper, like a couple of miles. It's not like just shooting short distances with guns, but snipers work over long distances. Everything is considered. Temperature, rain, all kinds of movements, everything is taken into consideration. He takes into account everything. Sometimes he aims not where the target is, in accordance with his trajectory. And he takes into account the distortion of the foresight itself. He takes into account all of those little inclinations. And if I'm aiming at the Creator, I determine how much I can not yet figure him out or see him in my foresight, because the group itself is not perfect. And how much inclination do I need to take into consideration together with the group in order for me to aim directly at the Creator? There are a lot of parameters here, so you see how many articles we have in order to direct us and nudge us constantly into the direction of the Creator. But in reality, we only have one job: to correctly aim through the 10 and hit the Creator.
So morning lessons, evening lessons,
not just lessons, not just our study, but our entire life, all of the worlds, only for this.
So yeah, taking into account the wind, all of these things.
Yeah, taking consideration all of these parameters, I'll see if there that there are a lot of interesting stories about snipers that I read on the internet. I touched upon that here and there sometimes. And it's very interesting to hear about those things.
So we have a group here that is growing in front of our eyes, Sochi.
I also want to add that the Creator is a fleeting goal. He's called concealed. He runs away and conceals himself.
Good day, Rav. Please tell us, what is the connection between the thought and the desire?
Between a thought and a desire. A desire determines the thought. If this would be the other way around, that would be good. But in reality, desires determine everything, because that's what the Creator has said. I have created a desire and an evil desire. But thoughts appear only to attain the desired. In the beginning, initially, I desire. And then I get a thought how to resolve this problem, how to resolve my desire. And desire comes first, and the thought comes second.
Natasha from Kiev asks to follow up. When a desire arises in me, I can think about it indefinitely. How can a desire influence a thought to be on a higher level?
A desire changes and thoughts change. I begin to think how to serve my new desire.
Until the desire changes, the thought won't change?
From where? A thought all on its own. How much time are we spending with an empty head that has nothing in it, doesn't think about anything, all kinds of waves are go through it, and all of a sudden, when a desire appears, then I begin to think, how and when will I fulfill or realize this desire?
So we have a question about that as well. Can the thought of one person change the whole world? Any one thought?
Unfortunately, no.
Why unfortunately?
Because if it would be good, then he would change the entire world. That cannot be. We need to connect all of our desires between one another, and then we will have good thoughts and they will change the world. But once again, the main thing is the desire. House. Question from Bishkek. Psychologists, when pulling out bad thoughts from a person, do they awaken them in the entire humanity?
I don't know what they do. I don't know how they extract these thoughts from the person.
Freud was dealing with this, with the subconscious.
Well, I don't know. I never had a session with Freud personally. It's a thankless job. It doesn't do anything. The only thing it can really do is maim a person. I only believe in psychology and psychiatry to the extent that the immediate specific relief that they can provide. No more than that. But raising them above human nature, I think that's absurd.
We cannot have a program without Konstantin from Novosibirsk. We already talked about this, but intention controls the thought and desire.
The intention controls both the desire and the thought, yes. But this intention only comes after the right desire, or an incorrect, the wrong desire, doesn't matter, but after the desire. After the desire is processed by a thought, the intention appears, and with that intention, then you can make an action.
Question from Boris from Berlin. How do you explain a phenomenon which is called an understanding when all of a sudden you begin to understand?
Understanding is the realization of the connection between the previous and the current state. The cause and consequence. The connection between the cause and consequence is called understanding.
What does it mean to understand the Creator?
To understand the Creator is, from His actions we will know Him.
More and more questions are coming about the group.
I'm answering very specifically. I don't know if you want to expand on that, but let them take my answers and demand explanations.
Question from Artyom. If thoughts are coming from above, then how will the group help me with this?
If a thought comes to me, I can process it in a group and bring it to the Creator. Everything that I get in my desires and my thoughts, there are only two parameters: desires and thoughts, my mind. If I receive it, I receive it from the Creator. Even if I receive it from the friends, I still receive it from the Creator. Then, if I want to react correctly to it, I need to run it through the group. That's it. Let's do that. So the right reaction to any thoughts and desires is to run them through the center of the group and address them at the Creator. And thus, we enter into a constant dialogue with Him. For myself, through the group to the Creator, the Creator through the group towards me. And thus, we start to be in connection myself with all of my friends.
Well, a question from a virtual group. Do we hear us? We have two questions. One from a man, one from a woman. Question from Elena. When I hear an answer that comes, I think that comes from above, how can I strengthen this connection?
You can strengthen the connection only with the right reaction. No, there's no other way. The more friends you have participating in this connection between you and the Creator, the more effective, the more broad, the deeper, more powerful connection this will be. You're gonna receive higher, like, harmonies. You'll be able to recognize these more detailed components. Why is this happening this way, not that way? This will depend on how well you structure this feedback from you to the Creator through the group.
can a person with a huge desire determine thoughts of other people?
Induce
thoughts of other people.
Well, you see, these inductions, right? These are corporeal things, and I would say that it's pretty thankless. You start catching the thoughts of other people on a corporeal level. But what's the point? These thoughts are material, corporeal. You can take a person by the hand and feel his thoughts, as some certain paranormal experts do. That's not a problem. But what's that going to give you, other than just a trick? Nothing. It's just a heightened sensitivity that certain people have. And they advertise themselves in such a way. I would not recommend doing this, worrying about it, making efforts here. Your efforts should be exerted in a different direction, to dissolve in the group and to reel the creator in the group as a result.
He's wondering if you can coerce certain thoughts into others.
It's possible. We know this from the KGB, the times of the KGB. This is what they were doing. And it's also a thankless job. You know, there were these agents, right, with these supernormal abilities sitting there at chess tournaments and trying to influence, suggest thoughts to the enemy. What do we need all this for? This is all on the level of our world, purely egoistic influences. I wouldn't want you to even think about these things. They only bring to the destruction of the world, to the submission of others.
So this is aimed against something?
Only against.
Question from Almata. Hello. We have a male and female question. Is there a connection between thoughts and the light that returns to the source?
Naturally, the light that returns to the source influences you and evokes certain thoughts in you. But everything depends on how you react to these thoughts.
The second question. What do I earn by relating all thoughts and desire to the Creator?
What you earn is that you connect yourself to the true source, where all of your thoughts come from in the first place. So you correctly lock yourself in on the source, and from there, everything depends on what you want from it. What do you ask for? What desire do you raise to it?
Thank you. We have a huge group in Kazakhstan. Another question. Would it be correct in all my actions to hang on to one thought? I desire to be similar to the Creator.
Yes, but this thought needs to lead to many other auxiliary thoughts. For this, I want to unite in the group, I want to be lower than anyone, or I want to rise above everyone in order to take them with me. It's one thought, ultimately, the initial thought. But besides it, there are many other secondary and other thoughts that follow it. They all fold into that main one, but still, the more you study Kabbalah, the more you follow this movement towards the Creator, the more secondary and other subsequent thoughts arise in you, but then ultimately they unite into this one integral thought.
Question, how this thought that there's none else besides Him to make into a sensation?
To bring the thought of none else besides Him into a sensation, it's all about your efforts, your sensations, to always try and sense that there is none besides Him, and that the Creator is in full control over you, and that you have a connection that is absolute, and it permeates every cell of your body between you and Him.
Question from Vilnius. Hello. I heard somewhere that when you pay attention to a particle, it is activated. This is my question. Is there a certain connection between the strength of thought, and does quantum mechanics explain this strength of a thought?
I don't know if I can give you a definite answer about quantum physics. There are all sorts of theories and developments happening there. I used to follow it very closely, but it's been a long time since then. I'm not really an expert in quantum physics anyway. It's just something that I was interested in. So I don't know to what extent this is true. The fact that we can control any... absolutely anything, any actions with our thoughts, that is true, because the thought is the highest power, the very highest power. Higher than the thought is only the desire. So the thoughts and desires of a person, if they're aimed correctly, then the power of the Creator closes into the thought and the desire, and that takes care of everything. Essentially, everything that we need to correct in creation, that we do with our thoughts and desires, into which the power of the Creator is closed.
Question from Bogota. No sound.
Can we hear them or no?
Okay, we didn't hear them, but we were sent a translation. How can we be sure that we're bringing contentment to the Creator?
To confirm that we give contentment to the Creator, that's very simple. If I give contentment to a friend, that means I give contentment to the Creator. That's it. You can just write that down and remember it. Nuremberg.
Yes, hello. Please tell me, is there a place for a preparation towards the next day? Let's say tomorrow I'm starting my usual work week, and I know that if I don't prepare for it, then my regular work day with all of my problems and clients, and it will just take me out of my good thoughts. Is it possible to prepare yourself with the thoughts about the group, the 10, or maybe that's too egoistic? I don't want to suffer during my regular day.
The reason that you prepare for it, that's your business. But you still need the preparation. Anything that a person does, he needs to prepare for. But, most important, it's always best to prepare the right way. As soon as you wake up, you aim yourself at there's nothing besides Him, you're getting up right now, and your day, for the most part, all of the main function of your day will be aimed at connecting to the Creator, who is in total control of you all the time, every moment. And then within that, you can place all of your corporeal problems.
Question. Can a thought develop a desire? And if yes, then how?
The thought influences the desire, and the desire influences the thought. You see this in our typical kind of routine experiences. If I want something and I start, or if I don't want something, but I start thinking about it all the time, cultivating these thoughts within myself, thus my desires are multiplied, manifold. and vice versa. Desire can influence thoughts. If they change, then my thoughts disappear. Most important is the desire, and the thought is given to us so that we can magnify them or reduce them or give them form, shape them, but desire is most important.
Well, very common question. Is it possible to use the thought to cure yourself from cancer and other diseases?
I would prefer not to answer such specific questions about cancer and so on. You can do anything. You can do anything. But are we capable of getting it done today? That I cannot say. I don't think that we are, but that in the near future we will be. It only depends on the extent to which our thoughts are going to be correctly connected together. And then we would be able to influence anything, even the most negative phenomena in our nature. Everything depends only on us. Only on us. There are all sorts of stories, interesting stories about Kabbalists as well, about so-called miracles that they have worked. They're not miracles. They're small corrections, not interjections or disruptions, but corrections on certain levels of nature, lower levels of nature, which we can do if we do it the right way. Meaning, I can interject into any system in the world between myself and the world of infinity only on the condition that I will add certain positive forces, influences to the system. So I think that we're going to reach the kind of state where we will be able to heal ourselves of all the problems, the whole globe of all its problems, the environment, everything, the whole universe. You can't imagine how badly, how negatively we impact our entire universe. It's terrible. What we see that happens on Earth, it's just a tiny fraction of what happens in the whole universe as a result of our evil. Because on Earth, we only take into account the influence of human activity. But in the universe, our negative influences from our thoughts, from our feelings, they're terrible. So let us hope that we will be able to quickly come to correction.
When you talked about Rabash, when he was listening to the news about the Lebanon war, he was listening it to think about correction. Okay, if the thought comes from the Creator and it's not towards unity, then how do I work with it?
The Creator sends all thoughts, both good and bad. I have so many negative thoughts. I need to sort them and realize why they come, meaning to turn them into good, to ask the Creator to change them. Suppose that the Creator sends one thought out of 1,000 that is good. 999 are negative thoughts and feelings. Then I need to ask Him to change them. Through the group, I need to address him to change them.
Do I need to distinguish them as negative?
I need to recognize them, that they're coming from him, that if he's sending them to me, that means I can send them back to him for him to change them back to good. It's like ping pong. But it works extremely well, extremely accurately. If I realize, if I catch this thought or desire, that means I am able to ask the Creator, convince the Creator to change it to the good. And I don't need to do anything myself. Only this. Only this feedback request.
Elena is asking, what is a filter for broadcasting your own thoughts and to receive thoughts of others?
I need to perceive it as though I received it from the Creator, regardless of where this influence comes from whom. It all comes from the Creator. Everything I see and feel, it all comes from the Creator. I receive everything from Him. And the fact that all of you guys exist outside of me, all these billions of people, none of this exists. It's all merely the Creator's manifestation to me on the level of human. And then there are also manifestations on the level of inanimate, vegetative, and animate.
Question from Astana. Hello, Rob. If I'm sending a positive thought, or the 10, or the group, send a positive thought towards this space, to change the space around us, then why does it turn out so that there are much more negative thoughts than positive ones? They consume the positive thoughts.
You're not sending those thoughts correctly.
We're trying to correct a space.
I don't know what you mean by space. What space you're correcting? You're trying to send the right thoughts through the group to the Creator. That's all. That's all you need to do. Then you need to ask Him to direct you and the entire group to become closer to Him.
Well, we'd like to change the world so that everyone would attain the Creator.
It's too slow. That's sweet. Look, it's a good intention, obviously. Don't think that we lose anything from our efforts, from our intentions. Nothing disappears in the world. We simply need to focus our intentions more correctly through the group, not just into the space somewhere.
It would be problematic if we would immediately see how our thoughts are influencing things.
Oh, absolutely not. All I need to do is work correctly in the group where everything would come together into one mass, and in this mass, to the extent that it becomes homogeneous and just identical, where you can't indistinguishable, where everything is submitted to this one goal, to reveal the one singular Creator.
Question about the Creator, thoughts about the Creator, to think about the Creator and to free your mind from external thoughts. What does it mean to think about the Creator?
To think about the Creator means that behind all of the thoughts, people, events, no matter what, all these objects, you see one single force that presents itself to you in this way. Meaning the whole world, everything you can imagine to yourself before your eyes, all that impacts your five senses, it's all the Creator. But this is how He reveals Himself to you, in order to calibrate you towards Him in all of your sensations.
Svetlana is asking, I'm studying Kabbalah for 2 years. I constantly feel guilty that I'm not putting in a lot, enough. I'm no longer happy. What do I do with this?
So what? Am I supposed to restrict my pleasures or what? No, the point of creation, the goal of creation is to give pleasure to the creature. So what are you talking about? A person must never be in a depressed state. And if it comes and takes over him, that means that he's in a bad state, negative state.
So if a person feels that they're not giving enough or not working enough,
it doesn't matter. It must still be It's the bestowal that he needs to complement. By being depressed, you're essentially blaming the Creator for giving you all of these things in order to come to Him. Where is your expression of love and gratitude? Right now, in any state, you all must be completely happy, totally happy, because the Creator is only aiming you towards the good at all times, at every moment. Even when it is written that the sword is raised over your neck, even then you must say that this is good and it's meant to save you, to liberate you. And it's not naive to say that. You need to see this force as a saving force. Rescuing force. This is especially important in a group. Like, if a group is sitting there and suffering, all depressed, that is a terrible, terrible thing and problem. It's a crime in spirituality. You need to do the exact opposite. You need to support mirth and optimism.
Some more questions. Sometimes there are descents and it feels like the entire world is crumbling. How do I control such a thought?
The whole world is crumbling, yes, I understand. The whole world, but not us. Not us. We understand why the world exists. We understand that we need to bring to the world a method of unity and connection, which depends on us. The changing of our intention, of our thoughts, our connection between each other, and the Creator, on this rests the liberation and the rescuing of the whole world. And this will bring us higher too.
Question from Kiev. It's easy to look at the Creator as perfect and without any shortcomings. But then later I begin to see this life as corrupt.
Right, but all this corruption that I see, I understand that it's there to aim me to seeing, to bring it to the Creator and correcting it, and no more than that.
Dear teacher, which thought is this, mine or the Creator's thoughts that turns me over from one desire to another? How do I make sure that I don't switch one desire to another desire?
Everything depends on my correct reaction, only on my correct reaction on what's happening. Everything that's happening, the Creator draws this picture of reality to me. There's nothing there. Nothing exists. All the inanimate, vegetative, animate nature, everything that I see before me, it is all but a reflection of my mind. At the foundation of which there is this bed of desires that paints all of these objects to me. So everything, all of it determines how I perceive everything. Understand this. Understand that this is how the whole picture of reality works.
We have a few announcements. The webinars continue. The series of webinars continue on Wednesdays. Aside from that, you can sign up for our weekly newsletter and Rav's Twitter. And a big event that's happening in 2 weeks, which is our big congress from 19th to 21st of February in Israel. We now have an opportunity for you to stay at our center. You can do so for free.
When you come here, you need to only buy your airfare, your plane ticket, and the Congress, the cost to enter the Congress, but your accommodations are free and your food is free. So please, everyone is invited, men, women, come and we'll be together through the several days. We'll be working on spiritual ascension.
Oh, let's finalize with the thought and the Congress. Can you unite those two things?
The Congress, the whole point of the Congress is for us to unite our thoughts and aim our hearts to one common heart, all thoughts to one common thought. To the extent of our efforts, the Creator will be revealed in them.
And you could say that this penetrates the entire world.
Yes, and I think that we are ready to reveal the Creator in action, in the connection between us. Again, I want to announce to everyone that throughout this week, and Tuesday and Wednesday, on the 5th and 6th, February 5th and 6th, the lessons will be in Hebrew, I mean in Russian, the morning lesson from 3 to 5 a.m. They'll be from the studio. So prepare your questions. We're going to discuss them all together and raise them all together. And we wish you all the best to be in one thought and in one desire till we see each other again.